Welcome to the Bicast, a podcast for the bisexual community. We switched our roundtable topic around this month to celebrate Bi Visibility Day and Bisexual Awareness Week, the first full week. So many amazing things happened, and we wanted to recap a few. And to do that, we have with us some very special guests. I think we will let you introduce yourselves today.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lauren Beach, and I am a former chairperson of the Bisexual Organizing Project.
Hi, I'm Faith Chalton. I'm president of Binet USA.
And lots of other stuff.
Yes, I'm John.
I'm Allison.
And I'm Lynette.
So let's start with the basics. Faith, can you tell us something about Bisexual Awareness Week?
Sure. Bisexualweek.com is the website, and it was started as a partnership between Binet USA, GLAAD, and a bunch of other bisexual organizations looking to draw some attention to some of the important public policy priorities that the bisexual community experiences and reports, as well as the resiliency of our community, and to celebrate the bisexual culture and community that's going back almost 50 years now.
Fantastic. I would like us to talk about the hard work put into the Bi Week campaign with GLAAD and the other projects and organizations and all the wonderful members of our community. What kind of milestones happened this week?
Well, we published an article from Dr. Lauren Beach, JD, which I think was a very big highlight for me.
Uh-huh. Thank you.
I thought it was amazing. It was like I'm looking at Lauren's article, and she's like, okay, I'm going to get it to you at this time. And I'm like, okay, so you're in Africa, and I'm in the U.S., so that's basically like we're worldwide bisexuals. Yeah. You know, so it was very fun to have so many people involved. And I think that's a really big milestone in itself, having dozens of bisexual organizations involved, having dozens of partners, having literally hundreds of articles that came out about bisexual people during that week. So there were a lot of people participating, people jumped in. Sometimes it wasn't always the best content, but we really appreciated the fact that people are thinking about us, people are speaking about us. People are wondering, what is it that we want? So, you know, we're starting to set up an agenda. We're starting to set up a conversation. And it's inheritance time, right? It's time for us to get what belongs to us.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that, Faith. I thought that the just the amount of chatter, the amount of bandwidth that was taken up by the bi-week hashtags and postings and, you know, publication of advertisements about the event all over the world was just really inspiring.
It really was. It really was.
Including two reports on our community. You want to talk about that a little bit, Faith?
Oh, yes, right. That was such a historic moment to have HRC releasing one of its first bisexual reports, if not its first, plus, you know, it focusing on bi youth, really important and huge for us. And, you know, also the Movement Advancement Project, having them do their report, understanding the issues of facing bisexual Americans. That's really important.
So I was really actually personally inspired, I guess that's the best word, by having a whole week dedicated to our community and just the tremendous success of the publicity and also the fact that more and more this holiday is growing. And so we saw events from everywhere, you know, many, many states in the United States were hosting events, Canada, countries in Europe, Latin America. I mean, there were just so many different places that have taken this holiday up and have decided to bring visibility and awareness to our communities by celebrating it. So, I mean, that was at least one part of what I thought was a highlight from this year's work.
I really agree with you. And over this whole past year since last October, when I first came into the community, and from now I've seen a change in people's attitudes. It seems like more of everyone really, the community members, everyone, their heads seem to be, their walk and talk seem to be a little bit brighter. And it's I think that this was very fulfilling for me for this whole bisexual week and for the whole year to see that happen.
Yeah, I just said too, we had our own calendar this year of events, and you know, last year we were dependent upon the UK to provide that, and it was nice to see us doing it ourselves too. A lot of those events also got in the UK calendar, but we had our own.
Yeah, mm-hmm. And I think by our own, I think we're talking about the U.S., right?
Mm-hmm.
Like, in Canada.
Yeah, in Canada. Okay. So, because I suppose now that I've moved to Zambia, I'm a little bit more conscious of thinking of the word R when we talk about where we are.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I really, it's interesting for me. I didn't get to celebrate Bisexuality Day to the same degree that I was able to back in Minneapolis, where Bisexual Organizing Project has a real stronghold. But mm-hmm. I definitely did talk about the holiday to my housemates here, to many of my coworkers, although it's not really safe to be out at work here because homosexuality is illegal here in Zambia where I'm at right now. Mm-hmm. So, and organizing on behalf of LGBT movements is a 25-year prison sentence. So it's a very different, kind of the contrast for me is pretty striking between being here and then being back in Minneapolis a year ago too.
It's a big strike, and we commend you for going forth and doing that. Anyway, that's great things. And this is off topic, but a lot of people don't know exactly what is it you're doing there.
Yes. So in August of this year, 2014, I took a job at the Center for Infectious Disease Research in Zambia. And it's also just called CIDRS for short, because I guess we all love acronyms wherever we go.
Yeah.
And CIDRS started off as an HIV/AIDS service providing agency, helping implement in a big way the PEPFAR grant for Zambia. So that PEPFAR, for people who don't know, is the President's Emergency Plan for HIV/AIDS Relief. And so it really was about scaling up treatment and access to care for people throughout sub-Saharan Africa, where HIV is really a huge problem. My specific project at CIDRS, since the founding of CIDRS 11 years ago, my project there is focusing on prevention of under 5 deaths in Zambia, specifically attributable to rotavirus infection.
That's heroic work, and we thank you for that.
Well, thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. Big year for you, too, all around, with your degree and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, I find out on Monday if I pass the bar in Minnesota, so hopefully that works out, too.
That's fantastic. Oh, you will. We have no doubt you will.
Thank you.
There's so much bisexual political and social change history. You know, lots of it was made last week. Do you think that Bisexual Week was accomplishing all the goals that we wanted it to? And how much awareness do you think was raised last week, Lauren?
Well, I was really, like I said, inspired again by the amount of interaction people were having with the bi-week hashtag. I saw on so many different websites across multiple different communities, on my Twitter account, on Facebook, on Tumblr. I mean, I thought that we did a great job of getting the word out. And I think partnership with GLAAD and the work of Faith and others, Ellen, Binet, the BLR, BRC, all these different organizations I think it paid off. I really do. And I can only see it growing in the future.
I will agree with that. I really think it did pay off in a big way. It a lot of participation and a lot of people co-sponsoring, wanting to jump on board of that, even up, right until like a couple days into it, there were people saying, yeah, we want to be part of that. So I think it really, really went well.
Yes, it did.
Hi, Anne.
Yes, I think that, one of the things that I track is looking at Google Trends. And, mm-hmm. We're on track, we're forecasted to be back, essentially. There's this moment of bisexual erasure that kind of happened in 2005. We've had some really great writers talk about it. Karen Greensmith wrote an article talking about drawing bisexuality back into the picture 10 years after this major moment of bisexual erasure. So it's interesting to see that bisexual content is starting to be a growth market of it, right, of what bisexual content looks like. We're changing the conversation away from the Larry King conversation, right?
Yes.
Anna Paquin with Larry King. Anna Paquin mm-hmm. kind of schooled him, and that was one of the first times in modern media that bisexuality was treated with just a basic level of respect. And that's in great part because of the great work that Anna Paquin has done to educate people about her reality, about her family, about her marriage. And as she says, like, hopefully we'll make it really boring, you know, like, yeah, I could be with anybody. I'm with this guy. I love him. He plays a vampire. What are you going to do?
Yeah.
You know, so we're starting to see this change, and I think that we were able to really capitalize on that change to have conversations. You know, I saw different communities having conversations about us that we usually don't see, you know, whether they were lesbian or transgender or, you know, in public saying, okay, we're going to talk about it. I know that sometimes it's like hard for us, but we've got a bunch of bi people that we love, that we support. So let's talk about some of the issues that are facing them. And it was amazing to see that, again, that conversation start to evolve, right? Past existence, past visibility, and into the real life of a bisexual person.
I know that's certainly true, because a lot of my, though all my friends and family are incredibly supportive, I've actually started having some actual dialogue about it after the bi-week started. It's like, well, you know, tell us what it's really about, you know, and that's pretty amazing for me, you know, to see that happen, you know, it's, tell us what's really going on, you know, that's really fantastic.
Yeah, and I think also on an advocacy and policy organizing front, this is groundbreaking, because it's from the, like, looking at the life experiences of people who are out as bisexual in so many diverse ways that we can start to really get the visibility we need to push forward our own agenda, saying, okay, now that you know our lives, let's help make our lives better, just like we work to make everyone's life and the LGBT and other identity politics movement better that we all work in here.
And it's great that we're getting the people at like HRC and GLAAD, you know, kind of becoming allies, and you know, GLAAD put out the social media practices guide, and you know, HRC is going to be doing trainings, or I'm not sure exactly that that's happening, but they're being more inclusive in what they're doing. Faith can talk about that more. Things are happening.
Yeah, I think it was really exciting to see HRC putting out this book, working with the Bisexual Organizing Project, came on as a co-brand alongside Bisexual Resource Center and Binet USA. And so that was also just so amazing from my perspective, is for us to expand the circle and really identify, you know, key stakeholders in our movement, because conference has been going on since 92, and it's been a really central part of Minneapolis. Even if you look at the history of bisexual organizing, Minneapolis was a very key leading early member of the bisexual community, and a lot of groups got started there early. So it's great to get people to know that in the LGBT community, that we've got a couple really big cities that are very, they're life-sustaining for a mm-hmm. large number of people. And I know, of course, that Bisexual Organizing Project focuses beyond Minneapolis. I think it's, Lauren, what's the mission statement? Upper Midwest?
Yeah, in terms of the geographic scope of Bisexual Organizing Project, it's now the 5-state Upper Midwest region.
Right, and that's definitely a region that's fairly underserved for LGBT people, and very, you know, it really needs the support and the outreach that Bisexual Organizing Project is up to. So it was really awesome to have, you know, Camille, who's the current chair of that group, to have her have a conversation with Jay from HRC, who's over at the foundation, and, you know, just really exciting for people to wake up and realize that there's so much more to our community than they ever thought. You know, whether that's our writers, our bloggers, the people who are artists, the people who are politicians, the people who are media. And so it's starting to kind of help people understand, like, what does it look like? What does the bisexual thing look like? You know, I was honored to be invited on Friday of last week to the White House to attend a meeting dealing with HIV and bisexual and gay men, and really looking specifically at Black gay and bisexual men and HIV. And of course I thought of you every single minute, Lauren. Lauren could be here. Oh, what would Lauren do? Oh, that was kind of my thought process. But you know, at the very end, I did a report. I was one of the reporter, it's like a French thing or something, but one of the people who reported back to the larger group in the auditorium at the White House, which, guess what, they have an auditorium at the White House.
Wow.
Yeah, who knew? And so it was great to be able to share, you know, what we had learned at our session, but also to really emphasize, you know, Bisexual Week, to emphasize that there are bisexuals who have been thinking about HIV, for decades, right? That we were some of the first people to really think about how we're going to get involved with HIV prevention. You know, the work of Dr. David Laurier in the 80s, very early, you know, people were thinking as bisexuals, wow, this is a disease that's going to affect us a little differently, right? Mm-hmm. It's going to cause us to be concerned for our partners, and we have to be educated, right? And we know that bisexual men are more educated about HIV than their heterosexual counterparts, which is good, right? But we really want to bring them up to the levels that we understand that gay men understand HIV and AIDS. Now, of course, we have to go beyond that as well, because we've got so many different things to talk about when it comes to prevention, when it comes to interventions and community support. So that was really amazing to be in that space, to kind of end my bisexual week inside the White House, being a very public and proud and loud voice for the bisexual experience, especially for bisexual men, who we just have not seen enough research around. We don't have enough books about them. We don't have enough media about it. We really, really, the bisexual men in our community are struggling to see representations that are positive of themselves. And we have to always be really thoughtful about how we can make sure to illuminate that journey as much as we do.
Thank you. I just want to kind of recap some of the things that our organizations and our people had done throughout the year. And of course, everyone knows about the meeting at the White House in October, which is the anniversary, by the way, which, you know, 33 members and activists from our community and organizations were there. It's September of last year. I thought it was October. I'm sorry. September of last year. The first one that I really noticed was the Bisexual Resource Center kicked off with the Bisexual Health Awareness Month, which was astounding. The response was incredible, and it did so much good. And we want to thank them very much for that. Bisexual Organizing Project was really fantastic this year. It's always fantastic, but you know, it was far reaching. And we were really happy that our odd got to go do that and see that. So many great workshops and people there. And this still going on is their Bi Story Project, which I really think is going to do a lot of good for everyone. So everybody should check that out. Oh, just a lot of things. We had the Google thing get, you know, underway and start get cleared up. If anybody's not familiar, the word bisexual was on the restricted list for Google. And that is now lifted, so you can actually go search for resources and groups and things about what it is to be bisexual. And that's a big thing. And a lot of people had their hand in that. Thank you for all of that. I'm drawing a blank for a second. I'm not sure why.
No, it's probably just like the whole...
There's so much that happened.
The Fenway Health meeting.
The Fenway Health meeting, that was a landmark. That was a milestone. And again, thank everyone who was involved with that. You want to talk a little bit about that, Lauren? Or
Please.
Yeah, so at Fenway Health Center, which is an LGBT health center based out of Boston in the U.S., held the first ever NIH, or National Institutes of Health, funded meeting to discuss bisexual health disparities. And surround, you know, it was a very research-focused discussion. But I thought it was groundbreaking also because in addition to researchers from all around the country being present, the community was also invited in to add context to the discussion. And Ellen Rutstrom was there instrumental along with people from Fenway in actually organizing the day's event. Wendy Botswick was another person who really took a leadership role on the research side. And from that, BIRCH was created, or the Bi-Health Research Collective. And so that's something that is growing and finding its place now among our activist and academic infrastructure to continue to influence conversations at the policy level, leadership level, organizing level, and just thinking about how can we get the word out about the needs our community has and how can we solve them by working together.
And that's important because that will help to make research and studies be more inclusive and more effective. Is that correct?
Yeah, so like a big focus of this, in addition to just bringing together, you know, the convening aspect of it itself, was to motivate people to go to different outlets where they were influencing. Like, so Dr. Lisa Diamond was there, and she's an editor-in-chief of several different journals related to sexuality research. There are also other people in different fields who are editors of journals at the, you know, academia. And so now part of what people at Birch were talking about doing is going to these places that post academic research publications and changing their policies so that if work is done on LGBT community health, that bisexual people can't be left out of it, or else that work will be rejected because it's not really looking accurately at the nature of our whole community.
Thank you. That's great.
All right. To interject that, one of the exciting things I got from Birch being founded is the potential to fund research specifically for bisexuals, and hopefully in the future funding programs that are focused on bisexual health specifically.
Mm-hmm. A lot of good articles and studies are now, you know, are the ones that were very good before are now being focused on again. And there's some new things that came out. They are working on the Pitt study, which I'm kind of hoping that will be. Is that going to be available soon? Is that almost done? Or?
Yeah, I'm not sure about the timeline on that study.
That's a couple years out.
Okay. It's in the works.
Yeah, there's Brian Dodge's work on bias. Is that what you're thinking?
That's what I actually meant to say, bias. I'm sorry. I didn't mean to say Pitt study because it's incorrect.
Yeah, so he has Brian Dodge is working on bias towards bisexual folks, attitudes towards bisexual men and women in the U.S., and how that relates, I think, to all the health that we have going on. So I think the reason why the Pitts is in there is because you had a link to that as far as either the name of the organization or university. So that makes sense. But yeah, I mean, having people think about how biphobia works, right? Having folks design scales and think about, you know, this is how the systemic thing works in our society. That starts to get at the root of how to solve the issue. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's really important to see that.
A lot of great things. The Bay Area Bisexual Network worked with the GLBT Museum and Don Rumsberg, and they produced the Biconic Flashpoints, 30 years of local bisexual activism. And I didn't get down to see that, but Faith was there. And this is another landmark, and it's still running, by the way.
Yeah, it looks like they're actually turning it into a permanent exhibit. It's actually it's looking at 40 years of bisexual.
Oh, sorry.
No worries. No, it's working at 40 years of bisexual politics in the Bay Area, and it really just is talking about, you know, how things got started, what it was like in the 70s. You know, a lot of people don't know that bisexual people were doing politics, that we were thinking about bisexuality, that we're discussing it. And asking for our right to live proud, happy lives going back 40, 50 years. So I actually think that the kind of 50th anniversary of bisexuality is coming up. I kind of look at the first founding of the first openly gay student group, the Student Homophile League, by Stephen Donaldson in New York, who is bisexual, as one of these really big bisexual moments. And then his subsequent kind of getting tossed out of the gay rights movement for having a torrid affair with one of the women who started one of the first, who helped to start the first lesbian group. You know, it's very much the story of how bisexuality can work, you know, and we know how it is when we're working so hard next to each other and we're doing this work and, you know, sometimes occasionally there's matches made, you know, and we know that can happen. So, but it was hard for them. It was hard in the 60s to really, 60s and 70s, for them to identify that you could be bisexual and that your bisexuality was a whole, fluid, complete self, right? That you're not half gay, that you're not half straight. And so I think it's a great thing to see with Bisexual Week that we've started to massage our message, started to develop and evolve how we talk about our own bisexuality so that it's easier for people to understand it.
Yeah, many great things happened. There was talks began with the Pride in New York to be more inclusive for next year, and that's pretty cool.
Yes, definitely. And that's I mean, we're looking at all of, you know, the places that bisexual people end up accessing, ending up needing to have in their lives in their local communities. And we know that many LGBT centers across the U.S., if their city has an LGBT center, you know, those centers are not necessarily really super welcoming of bisexual people, in the sense that they don't say, here's our bisexual content, here's our bisexual services, here's how we're targeting bisexual people so that we can make sure you guys get covered, because we know these are the issues, right? That's not necessarily happening across the U.S. People are starting to do it. Binet USA and the LA Bi Task Force are training the entire staff of the LA LGBT Center, which is formerly known as the LA Gay and Lesbian Center. So, so far we've trained, I think, about 100 employees, and we have a total of 450 employees to train over the next 2 years. So that's an amazing undertaking and a pilot program to see, you know, for these LGBT centers, how does this work? You know, how much benefit do we get from really understanding bisexual identities? And it turns out it's a lot.
A whole lot. And that's a ripple effect. 400 employees, that multiplies into, well, an amazing amount, I'm sure, of people that will be affected positively by this.
Yeah, it was amazing when I heard just how big the community center in L.A. was. I mean, in D.C., our community center is a lot smaller than that. But I will say that, you know, we're also, you know, I'm working locally with our LGBT center, and a lot of it for us is going in there and creating program and also being allies to the other programs. And I feel like bisexuals need to be going to their LGBT centers and going to executive directors and going to meetings and saying, we have a group, this is what we can provide, and we want to be in the movement. And I do feel that sometimes within our community we fear biphobia within the LGBT or the LG community, and we don't make those connections that we really should be making, because I mean, those, you know, of all the LGBT work that's done in this country, the collective of all the local community centers is bigger than every Gay Inc. organization combined. So when you think about the actual number of resources that are available and working at the local level and building our local communities and movements, it's a real opportunity for us.
I just wanted to touch on a couple more things on it. Like I said, there's about so many things that happened, but two of the big things that happened during bi-week is, of course, the MAPS guides that have come out, and also Recognize, the book that has come out for bisexual men, which is a landmark event to happen, or a landmark publication to happen. And if we could talk about those briefly.
Sure. What should we start with?
Let's start with Recognize. Let's start with Recognize.
So Recognize, which is an anthology of bisexual men and their voices, right? And for the first time, I mean, I think this is one of the first times that we've had an anthology for bisexual men. Right, John? I don't know if there have been. I think there's one other.
In a long time.
Right. I think Ron Suresha has a book.
Yeah.
Ron Suresha wrote a book on bisexual men a while back. That's very good. Mm-hmm. And here we have an opportunity for an anthology of different people's stories.
And Dr. Klein also had an anthology, I mean, years and years ago. I can't remember how many years ago it was, of men's stories.
Mm-hmm. So it's been a while. So this is coming from the Bisexual Resource Center. And it's a collection of short fiction, poetry, creative nonfiction, art, personal narratives, critical essays, produced by 61 cisgender and transgender, bisexual, pansexual, polysexual, and fluid men from the U.S., Canada, Chile, India, Spain, Sweden, and the U.K. So it's co-authored by Robin Oakes, who's an esteemed educator in the bisexual community, and a worldwide respected gender and sexuality expert, as well as Dr. Harakuri, an activist, researcher, founder of the Center for Culture, Sexuality, and Spirituality.
He's been a really important thinker and a critical thought leader in the bisexual community, especially this last year with his work. Just been amazed by him and all the work that he's done. So it's really great to see this book come out, and it's got some really interesting stories in there. You know, it's got these stories. We've got one of the writers from The Daily Show is shared his story, which is really incredible to have, you know, someone from, you know, this amazing show that lots of us love, who is also Black and bisexual identified. We've got great stories from elders. We have A. Billy Jones is on the cover. Jones Hennen is on the cover of this book, which I think is fantastic, and lots of other people of color, lots of trans male identities as well. And I think it's important that we showcase and talk about folks who would like to call themselves bisexual, and they have good reasons for it, and they have a great, interesting history, that their story can be helpful and supportive of other young people. That they might get a chance to hear what it's like to live as a bi man, you know, a positive life as a bi man, and something that's just beautiful, because that's what we're talking about when we talk about our sexuality. It's not just the disparities; it's also the wonder that comes from having this really unique sexual orientation.
Yeah, John, do you have anything you want to add to that?
No, I would just say, I don't think we had much to do with it, but Charles Blow also released a book on last week that talks about his bisexuality, his abuse as a child, and his coming to terms with his own bisexuality. And, you know, it's great because to me, Charles Blow is like one of the last columnists in the New York Times that I go to read anymore. And so it's a book that I really know I will connect to, because I have some of the similar things in my own background. So in terms of bi men writing books, yes.
Yeah.
I just wanted to basically say, you know, when we look at what we call Gay Inc., the national organizations, GLAAD, HRC, NGLTF, when we think of them as allies as opposed to them being for us, that shows that we're really having to go a long way to really make them work for us again. And I think one of the things that's happened is that for so many years, the two big issues for the LGBT movement or the gay agenda has been marriage and employment non-discrimination law. And now that marriage is really moving forward rapidly, and more and more states have finalized their end of laws, I think these organizations are looking to all the things that they've been missing, and especially with our community and other communities. And so we actually have an opportunity to show this new agenda, you know, to be part of this new agenda that's forming. And because bisexuals are very diverse, we can help a lot of these agendas. You know, the report on youth.
It crosses over.
Yeah, right. The report on youth really will say, it says something, because one of the things that I'm hearing a lot in my state is providing resources for youth, providing shelter for homeless youth. And when our local people, our state people, see this HRC report talking about bisexuals, they can begin to understand that, hey, we're bringing something to the table with this.
So there's the LGBT map report on bisexual Americans. And so the poverty report came out today. That poverty report's one in a series of like three or four. So there's a lot of new information, but there's a lot of news that's been done about that so far.
Okay, so let's talk about the one on bisexual Americans. Or go ahead.
If you look at the LGBT map, which is the Movement Advancement Project, and it's kind of interesting, you know, what MAP does as far as trying to be a thought leader, not just for our community in the LGBT world, but basically to really push forward the agenda of equality across the U.S. and to really work for how to see how strategically, you know, partnerships community outreach, effective messaging, and tracking really come into the work of policy and analysis of the policy. So, you know, we're really excited that they, you know, published, you know, one of their first documents that's very specific to the bisexual community, you know, understanding the issues facing bisexual Americans. So we're super psyched about that, and I think that it's their work is pretty indicative of what they do, right? It's kind of noticing that, hey, there's an issue that we're not seeing a lot of coverage on, that we know we need to have some more information about, that we want our partners to be aware of. So it's really great, and I think in part comes from having someone like Aaron Greensmith, Esquire, working there. We know that when bisexuals are hired, that they contribute a great deal to the larger LGBT community, and they're also able to help draw out, again, the importance of bisexuality into the larger conversation.
Yeah, I just reading their little intro to it on the page, and it's understanding issues facing bisexual Americans is an introduction to the many issues facing bisexual Americans and their frequent invisible community within the LGBT population, and goes on to talk about what you just actually talked about, addressing the harmful disparities. And this, I think, will be a great guide for the world at large, really, but all of the LGBT community to have this available.
Well, it's pretty good.
I see it bigger than that. My own local group has people that are working for policy groups that have LGBT little pieces of it, but generally don't focus on our specific issues. And this is the very kind of report, really a cheat sheet. It's not that long, but it's that little report, that cheat sheet, that gets into the hands of the movers and shakers of a lot of these institutes that are based in my town. Mm-hmm. And we have, you know, and the great thing is that, you know, we have a pretty broad group, and we have people that work for those groups. And so getting it into their hands and getting it into the hands of the people that are actually focusing on policy is really a great thing for us.
That's fantastic. I want to thank Karen for coming on and talking with us about that recently, and for all her work that she did with that too. Let's see, what else can we touch on?
You know, I think it was a really fun week last week. You know, I had possibly too many speaking engagements, but we were really excited to meet with the task force and their staff to start training them. I think the conversation is going to continue, that, you know, people over at the task force are really talking right now about how bisexual identities work, how they function, what's appropriate when we're discussing bisexual identities, and how to be welcoming of bisexual people with your content. So I'm really thankful for that conversation to be ongoing with both the task force and the Human Rights Campaign. And it was fantastic to visit with the Human Rights Campaign on Celebrate Bisexuality Day and look up to the very top of their building and see that, along with the HRC flag also flying, was the Bisexual Pride flag. And they said that, as far as they knew, that was one of the first times that the Bisexual Pride flag had probably flown from their building. So, you know, really just amazing inroads are being made, and not just within, you know, the LGBT world, but also being, you know, seen and acknowledged in the larger mainstream world, you know, seeing lots of different types of folks thinking about bisexuality, discussing it. That's really what we were looking for. And I think I said to John at one point last week, I said, you know, it's strange, but like, we kind of had to go from a day to a week, because it just was too much for us to cover in one day. And in some ways, you know, we had to, you know, shoot for the stars to get to the sky, right? To bring our movement off the ground, to say that this is more than just a few organizers. This is much more than a few people, right? And it's kind of what I've always, for myself and the work that I've done, I've always bet, just completely laid money down on the fact that if we do it, bisexuals will show up, right? Because mm-hmm. we are everywhere, right? And that was one of the things that always works for us when we do our advocacy, is to try to make it as public as possible, because there's so many bisexuals out there that don't know about bisexual organizers, they don't know about bisexual orgs, they don't necessarily know that, you know, we welcome as many labels as you can possibly attach to yourself, and that, you know, the bisexual word is really this kind of more than an umbrella term, right? It's a community term. It's a sexual orientation term. It doesn't write people out of it. It only writes people in. So it was a really cool day and week to see that happen throughout Bisexual Week. And we can't thank GLAAD enough for the work they did, you know, on Bi Week, and, you know, the support and the guidance, the media strategy. To have them by our side was incredible.
It was, and I want a really big thanks to Alexandra for her work with that. That was fantastic.
Absolutely. Yeah.
I will say, with my local bi activist hat on, just how wonderful Faith was in D.C. and how amazed all of us are by your energy and your knowledge and just the amount of stuff that you did here. And the other good thing is, like, tagging along with some of these things, I met people that work in these national groups who are bisexual, and it's good to make these kind of local connections, because a lot of times when people work in these in these national groups, they don't have that much of a connection to the local bi community, and it's, you know, it would be good to have some of those people come in into our local events and talking and actually maybe learning themselves some things.
So we learned a lot from our first year, our first whole week, is not our first whole year, because it's been going on. Bi Visibility Day has been around for about 15 years and a little bit more. I believe there's a couple of local bisexual celebration days before that. But this is our first year we have a full week. Is that correct?
That is.
Yep.
Yeah, at and least nationally.
Nationally, at least.
Yeah.
And I think we learned a lot about what's going to happen for next year. And would anyone like to touch on what they would like to see 2015 bring for us as far as the goals and community participation?
One thing I wanted to mention before we jump to that as well is that there was a Bisexual Awareness Week that was run by UC Davis. And UC Davis has been running this Bisexual Awareness Week for a couple of years. So I definitely want to acknowledge them as one of pretty much the progenitors of Bisexual Awareness Week to a certain extent. I ran across it as part of my work with the University of California LGBT Task Force. And I was like, oh, wow, there's this Beyond the Binary Bisexual Awareness Week from the UC Davis LGBT Center. And I just thought it was so important that, you know, in 2012, there were a series of events that happened, and they continue to do these large-scale events surrounding bisexuality with a keynote and film day and all these things. And, you know, all around the world, we see bisexuals kind of doing this work, and we see them very unsung. So that was one of the things that I just thought was so amazing, was to be able to see how many bisexuals are doing this work, right? It is literally not a few people. It is thousands upon thousands of people. It was everywhere. I think at one point I just said, okay, I'm turning off Facebook notifications because I can't.
I know.
I can no longer handle that. And it was a blessing to be like, I can't deal with it. There's hundreds of notifications. We can't physically process all of this because we're not meant to, right? It's not for mm-hmm. us to read every tweet. It's for every bisexual to make a tweet, right? So that mm-hmm. they can share who they are, share their stories, make them so proud. I know that at one point we went to a bar with happy hour for the Bi Center in D.C., and I kept on going to the DJ and saying, okay, we need more bisexual singers. He's like, okay. And I'm like, this is bi week, you know. And so he started thinking about, okay, who's in that? And then he's like, okay, here's Lil Lady Gaga. I'm like, okay, yeah, but what about the Queen? And, you know, so it was really interesting because mm-hmm. I felt empowered to demand my bisexual media, celebrity, musics, and artists, and all these things. I was empowered to ask for my representation, even from the DJ.
Yeah, well, we did own that place that night.
Right, right. There were a lot of us there.
Yeah.
We even had a really good turnout,
so,
luckily.
As far as next year, I have no idea where bisexual bi week will end up. Oh, yeah, there was a very good turnout locally, and a lot of people reported that. You know, a lot of people reported new people, new faces, people getting excited. So, you know, I definitely have to say that our gamble to a certain extent paid off.
I actually want to see green in 2015 so that we
can... Yeah, green. Yes,
well, I mean, we can just put those bills on our flag.
Yeah, exactly. I think I'd like to see, we had great participation this year, but I would like to see a lot of more volunteering happening and as far as next year's bi-week happening, more people getting involved with that. I'd like to see the bi-week sites, you know, kind of stay up for the entire year and just, you know, put additions into there. And let's see, what else would I like? I'd like it to be bi-month. That's what I would really like.
Well, we can start talking about it now. We got 11 months to build it.
So what else could we discuss? Some of the things that we definitely want to see more next week, next year for sure. I think we want to make a concentrated effort to develop additional memes, especially looking at people of color experiences, trans experiences. Mm-hmm. Love to see some asexual experience stuff, not to mention Asexual Awareness Week is coming up. I believe that is in October.
Yes, it is.
So we want to be as supportive as we can for our ACE community members. We have people who intersect both asexual and bisexual spectrums, and then there's folks who don't. And being able to get out there and share Tiny Dinosaur's ideas, please do that. Tiny Dinosaur is awesome. That's on asexualawarenessweek.com. Just amazing work about, you know, changing how people think about sexuality and sexual orientation. And we know so many people who are bi, we know so many people who are ace, you know, these are people who are in our families and our lives. And, many times we've never, you know, we haven't figured out how to identify ourselves or for people to identify us. And so we're like, hey, here's a good way to do it, you know, through the Awareness Week. So, I'm very hopeful that, you know, next year's Bisexual Week will just be even bigger and more badass.
Yeah, it was pretty badass this year, but I'm hoping it'll be even like super badass next year. we're actually planning conversations with some asexual people in the community for this month for asexual awareness, and we're going to, of course, be focusing on the trans community in November because that's their month. And then in December, we are planning on working on intersex and getting some people in there to get their voices heard on our show. So
wonderful.
I'm excited about that.
Fantastic.
I would like to see some more focus on international outreach as well, because I mean, there are so many people all throughout the world in many different cultures for whom bisexual empowerment is relevant. And so I would really like to see perhaps a greater focus on maybe even bringing attention to the former International Conference on Bisexuality and thinking about ways we could partner with people all over the world in the work that we do.
That is perfect. That is a great idea, and it should be done. We're actually talking with Bi Ireland right now about them coming on and doing like what is happening in Ireland as far as the bisexual community. I'm hosting a couple of shows on that, so that's encouraging. And we can start keeping that dialogue going between our countries and the whole world. And speaking of that, I want to thank Jen Yockney for her help with giving us suggestions and helping us out with the Bi Visibility Day and site and the Bi Awareness site. And she was quite helpful, and I want to thank her for that.
Wonderful.
From Biphoria, by the way, UK.
Yeah. Well, anything else that anybody wants to add?
Okay.
Thank you for having us on.
I'm sorry, you guys. I know this seems so stilted and weird, and I'm so sorry.
Yeah, I think we're all recovering.
Is that what it is?
Yeah.
Yes, we're so recovering. I mean, my voice is, like, totally shot.
Well, you have been talking, like, for a week.
Oh, you used it so well here. I will tell you that. In case you don't know.
Oh, good, good, good. I just came back with, like, oh, my name's Faith Chalmers. So, it's, I don't know. But, yeah, I'm definitely going to rest. This is my last engagement. until who knows when, but at least for a couple days. So I'm really hoping to rest and to reflect and doing some tracking, you know, try to figure out, you know, how many hits. I know we had 30,000 hits on the Bisexual Week website last week, which is amazing to have 30,000 hits in a week.
It is.
That's pretty incredible. So we had 30,000 like that, wondering, you know, how many tweets are out there, right? So far, I've found about 4,000, I think it's 2,000 tweets that I've tracked, but, you know, I'm actually having to find different tools to use because our success is kind of beyond what was expected. And that, you know, I really just want to reiterate how thankful I am for the Bicast support, in particular Lynette, in particular John. To have you guys involved was just amazing. It made this week, we wouldn't have been able to complete it. Nothing would have actually happened.
Thank you.
If dear Lynette wasn't involved and we didn't have everybody contributing, I mean, Lauren Beach is writing from Africa. I mean, come on, like this is,
yeah.
You know, we're everywhere. And I'm just so thankful for that because it really, it showcases how much we can do, you know, and I was hesitant to share it earlier, but I think that it's really important for us to state it outright that this was a zero paid campaign, right?
Yes.
That there wasn't a single dollar spent.
Yes.
Right.
This is all on the sweat of our backs.
This is all by our volunteer people power. So this is a sign and a message to the larger LGBT community that if you don't have bisexuals organizing in your space, you're missing out. We're very effective, very effective, very proactive, and possibly cheaper than usual. Like, you know, we're very good at being able to get some stuff out there and you know, rise above our circumstance, right? Rise above that pain that we have, you know, on a day-to-day basis of facing rejection and to say, you know what, we don't have to live like this. We're going to make the world our own. And I think that that's a great deal of what we did last week. And it's changing things. Like, we're getting – people are just thinking about bisexuals all the time, and they're wondering what they can – you know, they're thinking about us when they're thinking about the LGBT community. And that's what we're fighting for. You know, we're fighting for that recognition within the community. We're also fighting for the awareness of our issues outside of the community. You know, as Amy Andre has said in the past, she said it perfectly. She said I'm less worried about the lesbian women who will not date bisexual women and the straight men who will, right?
Yeah.
The understanding that we have lots of people who sexualize bisexual women and bisexual men's voices and bodies, and that many times we're fighting to be proud of all that we've been through, right? And we have every right for that to be true, for the fact that we have these beautiful, beautiful icons in our world that often don't get respect or just are acknowledged as being heroes and superheroes for us. You know, in the celebrity world, like Anna Paquin or Alan Cumming or Evan Rachel Wood, Michelle Rodriguez, Margaret Cho, you know, June Jordan, Frank Ocean, you know, being able to say like Frank Ocean is representative of many Black bisexual experiences, whether it be thinking about labels, approach to media, there are very much, you know, these things that are really important for us to start to key in as an important part of bisexual culture. You know, I made a little joke at the White House, actually, that people really loved, it seemed, about how my husband, you know, my straight cisgender husband now works at Grindr, which is a place for it's a dating app for primarily for gay and bisexual men, and you know we kind of represent a bisexual power couple, right? That's, if you wanted to know what that looks like, that's what it can look like. You know, a couple can be bisexual with one person in it or two. You know, it doesn't. You know, where we have these amazing lives that are so exciting and interesting. I'm just so thankful that people are learning more about those lives, right? And the reality of those lives, so they can understand our experience. They can support us when it comes to our public policy priorities of, you know, mental health issues and physical and sexual violence. Those are some of the key areas that bisexual people experience much, much higher rates and poorer outcomes than their gay, lesbian, heterosexual, in some cases, transgender peers. So it's really important for us. And also to be able to talk about the transgender experience this week was so cool, right? To be able to like, wow, we've got trans bi writers, we've got gender nonconforming writers, we've got people who are sharing their experience, and now they get to say, I am more than one thing, right? I am more than what, you know, this one identity that you've placed upon me. I am complex and I am whole. That was just amazing to see.
Yeah, it was. Lauren, we want to thank you for all your amazing work all year.
Oh, thank you to everyone on this call. I think that it's been wonderful to, I think in the last couple of years in general, there's been a huge increase in the amount of collaboration that we're doing with people from different parts of the country and different parts of the world and in our organ on the individual and on the organizational level. It's been really wonderful. So thank you.
Thank you. Yes, and I agree with you. It's been great. John, do you have anything you'd like to add in?
Yeah, I'd just say, too, I feel like we have a really vibrant community again, and it's been a lot of years where we've been doing our work kind of disconnected a lot around the country, this country, and it's great to have, like, all this activity, you know, doing lobbying work in Maryland for LGBT rights. A lot of times I felt like I was the individual bisexual that had to basically say I wasn't an ally, that these issues also affected me. And having organization, real organization again, to say, hey, no, it's not, I'm not an individual. I'm part of a really big community and vibrant, and these are all the things that we're doing, is really a gift.
Yes, thank you. Allison actually got dropped off the call. We couldn't get her back on, but she would like to say goodbye and her hurrahs for the week.
And we send our love to Allison, too, and the Transgender Violence Tracking Project and the amazing work that they're doing there. I'm just super wowed to be part of a community that cares about every member of our community as well as other communities, right? So folks who are not bisexual but who are trans, they're still worthy of our complete and utter care and respect, and thinking about, oh wow, we're bi, you're trans, are you bi trans? Oh, you're not, it's okay. This is very interesting, right? I mean, one of the things that we have in common, especially I think, is our partners, right? Many trans folks have straight partners or have partnered with straight people in the past, or may partner with straight folks in the future. And that's very much the experience for bi people as well. And it doesn't invalidate a person's gender identity. In fact, it's an amazing thing for people to recognize that trans folks have a sexual orientation, that their sexuality is super important. And it doesn't need or should not be distilled down to other people's awareness of their gender identity. It's undignified to do so. So I just want to put a shout out on the Allison tip that I'm just so, we're so lucky to have Allison.
Yay. And she just texted me, she said, because she's now in the middle of client work, to tell everyone it was a total pleasure and she was thrilled to be part of the conversation. Wonderful. So yay, Allison.
Yay. And I get to work with her on the tracking portal later today again.
We can actually go back to doing like other stuff now.
Yeah, actually the programming kind of stuff. that makes all that actually makes all this stuff happen these days.
Okay, anybody, is there anything that I forgot to put in here that you want me to add in?
I just say that Faith and Ellen's event that we did last Monday locally is up on our site now, and so people can watch that too.
Mm-hmm.
I think I'm good.
Yes, Ellen, yes, broken arms and all, we work. Or was it a wrist? Or elbow? Can't remember.
Yes, definitely, definitely. She's a badass. My husband's calling her Extra Metal Ellen. Because we just love the hard work, and, you know, I'm just so thankful that I think so much of the work comes from, you know, folks who just give it their all. And we're so thankful to have Ellen Rustrom. I mean, she came down from Boston, you know, took the train, you know, did all these events, got back on the train, and then launched the recognized bisexual book in Boston. So well-deserved. Anybody who can, please go and purchase this amazing book.
Mm-hmm. And anybody who can, please help support all of our organizations, Binet USA, Bisexual Resource Center, Bisexual Organizing Project, any of your local groups, the Bicast. We run off of our community, basically, and we would encourage your support. We would be very happy for it. You can find the information for that on our sites. I just wanted to read something that Ruth Harris, one of our crew members, said to me. Bi Visibility Day shows the LGBTQIA community that we are here, visible and human like everyone else. And in a year, I hope to see more lesbians, gays, and trans people advocating alongside the bisexual community. Thank you, Ruth.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you.
And I just want to remind everybody, you are not wrong, you are not broken, and you are not alone. You are a human being, and you are a bisexual. And you all are a powerhouse force. Keep it up. Bye.
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 The views expressed on the Bicast do not necessarily represent those of Binet USA or the Bicast crew.
Nip it back.